Rav Eisenstein for joining us, joining the Chevra. Baruch Hashem, it's been a great start to Yeshivas Beina Semestrim. It's an amazing thing, Rav Eisenstein, that these guys, with their break, all they want to do is continue learning. So beautiful. So we're glad we can provide such amazing Torah. And the fact that we have a Zoom and we can include so many incredible Israeli Rebbeim to come to give shir to our guys is really very special. A little fun fact for the Chevra here, about 20 plus years ago, Rav Eisenstein was still living in New York. So you may be familiar with 90 Laurel Hill Terrace as a very bustling Jewish building. But, you know, 20 plus years ago, 90 Laurel Terrace was nothing. There were, you know, maybe five Frum families in that building. And I was zochet to be in that building with Rav Eisenstein. And he, of course, took the incredible leap to go to Eretz Yisrael, and I stayed in New Jersey. So, but we're really zochet to have Rav Eisenstein join us today and to share some Torah, chizuk, and spend time with us. Thank you, Rav Eisenstein.
I know that I remember you from those days, and I know that your heart is very much in Eretz Yisrael, and it's a schus to be able to. To be able to learn with you, I have a very, very deep place in my heart for not only for 90 Laurel Hill, but particularly for the back of the old Beis Medrash. Ravelli also, I think, at times sat as well. And Rav Eitan Schnall, who I have a special hakaras hatov for all that he does for the Talmidim during this time between semesters as well as throughout the year, and the world is changing. The world is changing, and there are many challenges that come along with it, but to exalt in this and that, to be able to learn once again with people that it's been a while since that I've been able to learn with is something that's very, very, very special. Rav Eitan asked me to talk about a halachic topic. Maybe chizuk will leave for another time. So I'm going to follow Rav Eitan's request. The request was to do something that is both a lomdasha topic as well as a halacha lemaisa topic. And I'm definitely interested in your feedback. The topic that I'd like to discuss is the topic of muktzah machmas chisaron kis. So we'll be doing a sugya of muktzah today. And we're going to do it both from the perspective of the lamdus as well as Emir Tzashem, the halacha lemaisa. So let's jump right in. And as a talmidim who know me from Eretz Yisrael, it's my pleasure, it's my joy if you want to jump in and make haros along the way. Muktzah has a few stages to it. I use the word particularly stages. You might be surprised. You might have expected me to use the word a few different categories. But actually, Muktzah has a few different stages, not only categories. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed describes that David HaMelech passed away, and Shlomo HaMelech had a question about his father's body because he had passed away on Shabbos, what the status of the body was in terms of the halachos of muktzah. And so from the Gemara there, it seems that muktzah already goes back to the period of time of David HaMelech. Yet the Gemara in Perek Kol HaKelim describes that the Isra of muktzah it was something to be. So Shulchan Aruch Harav explains, and this point in historical point is going to be important in terms of understanding the lamdus and the halachos of muktzah machmas chisaron kis. The Shulchan Aruch Harav describes that it could very well be that different categories of muktzah were related to different periods of time. And that for some reason, he doesn't explain why, but muktzah machmas gufo, like a dead body, goes back already to the time of David HaMelech. And we're going to argue already from Sinai, there was already an iser of mutza in that direction. The Torah tells us tishbos that we're supposed to rest. I'm going to see shortly in the Rambam that the Rambam feels that being metaltal mutza is going to violate that. And then Nechemiah came along, and the Gemara describes in the 17th parak in Shabbos, and he felt that if we were going to allow for people to be metaltal kelim, particularly, for example, klisha melachtal iser, a hammer, so then in such a case they'll come to do malacha. So that was what Nehemiah did. According to Shulchan Harav, it's not only that Muktzah has different categories, as we're both elaborate on, but actually they appear in different stages. It could very well be that this fits well into the Rambam's description in Perichav Dalet, Halachos, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel, that the Rambam gives different explanations for the Isser of Muktzah. The Rambam quotes the Nevi'im, who said that one cannot be metaltal mutza, and the Rambam gives a few reasons. The Rambam says, "Asru chacham metaltal mutza." Umay amru, they said, "Imiziru an Nevi'im tziu shloyu luchach b'shavs kluchach b'chol lis lo sicha shavs sicha sachol shenemar v'daber dover kal chomer shloyu tolto b'shavs ketolto b'chol." Why? The Rambam says we're afraid if we're going to allow people to be metalto items, then they'll come to treat the day of Shabbos as a weekday. Then in how the Rambam goes on and says also if someone is already a millionaire, and he doesn't work during the week. So how is Shabbos going to be different for him? So the answer is that he's going to be metalto differently on Shabbos. And finally, in Halacha Yud Gimel, the Rambam says, "Va'od kishivakar v'yitalto kem shemlachtan iser efsher shi'is asik ben at v'yavo midei malacha." The Rambam also says that we're afraid if we're going to allow people to move kli shemlachtan iser, they're going to come to do malacha. So I'd like to focus on two of the Rambam's reasons. The Rambam gives two different reasons. One, the Rambam says that the concern is that if a person is going to be metalto items, then what's going to happen is he'll end up doing malacha on Shabbos. And then he also said that we're afraid that a person, by moving motza items, he's going to end up treating the day of Shabbos like any other day. It would seem to me that the Rambam is giving different reasons for different situations. When we're talking about Kli Shemalach Al Isser, there the Rambam says that the chashash is you're going to come to do an Isser with it. And then the Rambam describes just being metaltal kalim that are not designated for Shabbos's purpose. And that would seem to me to be the category of Mutsa Machmas Gufo. And as we saw, these Isurim take place at different stages. Okay, so that's what a general introduction in regards to Muktza. The title of the shiur is "What is Muktza Machmas Chisaron Kis?" And are you allowed to be metalto on Shabbos in certain instances, a smartphone or a laptop? So, in regards to Muktza Machmas Chisaron Kis, so the Shulchan Aruch begins Simen Shin Ches and gives us examples of what we call Muktza Machmas Chisaron Kis. Says the Shulchan Aruch Shin Ches Siif Aleph, Kol Ani Kelim Nitam B'Shabbos Chutz Mi Muktza Machmas Chisaron Kis. You can move all kelim except kelim that are Muktza Machmas Chisaron Kis. Now, by the way, in Pshat, that's a strange statement because there are other kelim that you can't be metaltal. You can't be metaltal a klisha malachto le'iser, like only letzarach gufa letzarach mekama. But here, the Shulchan Aruch begins, you could be metaltal all kelim except muktza machmas chisaron kis. What about muktza machmas gufa? It's not a kli. So somehow already the Shulchan Aruch is putting Muktza Machmas Chisaron Kis into a category that's different than Kli Shemalach Tol Iser. Kigom, the Mechaber continues, and he gives us examples examples of items that the people don't use for other events. Sakin shel shchita, a knife for shchita, shel mila, vizemel shel saparim, etc., etc. So he says, kivan shemakbidim shel asben tashmish shacher. Since people are makbid not to use it for any other purpose, also tatal b'shabbos vafilu tzarich mikama otzar gufa. So here we have an important distinction between a kli shemalach del iser and muktzah machmas chisar and kiss. Kli shemalach del iser, you're allowed to move a hammer, you're allowed to move if you need its place or you need to use it. However, when it comes to something that qualifies as muktzah machmas chisar and kiss, that can't be moved except for if you somehow show that's not chisar and kiss. If you don't do that, then in such a case, it's going to be usher to be metalta. Now, what is the definition of machmas chisar and kiss? That is an interesting question. So here, Rashi on Kuf Chav Gimel on the Beis in Shabbos, on the Mishnah that describes the examples of items that are usher to be metalta, that the Shulchan Aruch described as machmas chisar and kiss, Rashi says, Yased shall not falls into that category. Tehanich kapid alayu, people are makbid, umiyachid lehem makom, and they designated for that it has a particular place. Delo chazu lemelach acheres, and it can't be used for any other work. It can't be used for any other work. So Rashi's definition has three terms for it. Number one, a person has to be makbid to use it in a particular way. And then Rashi describes that the item has a specific place and it can't be used for any other work. For example, a mohel's knife will not be used by the mohel for anything but mila, even though technically it could be used to cut an apple. So too, the Yaseh Shal Machareisha is only used in that manner. Okay, so these are Rashi's three definitions. Now, the Mishnah Brura has his definition, and what we're going to do is compare the Mishnah Brura's definition to Rashi and see the halachic implications of that. The Mishnah Brura in Sif Katan Ches describes the following. He says on the Shulchan Aruch Psach, Kol kli afilu hu gadol v'kavet harbei, lo nispatol shem kli menu, lo mipnei gadlo, v'lo mipnei kvodo. Just because something is heavy doesn't necessarily mean that it's not a kli, even though it's not normally moved around. Says the Mishnah Brura, the kavet harbei, v'hu adin even gadola, v'karo gadolim yesh taras kli ala, da'ayinu shem yuchadun l'tashmish, Shari l'talklan, if you have a large utensil, that is, one is allowed to be metalkal. The clean mutter, afilu ein rugal l'talkal mosachol, mikol makom lo amrin and tnei kfei dusu kovei lo makom. We saw that one of the definitions of muktzah machmas chisar and kiss is that you leave it in a particular place. So maybe if it's heavy, so a table, I'm sitting by a heavy table right now. Is that by definition considered muktzah machmas chisar and kiss? Says the Mishnah Brura, no. V'nira de'imbi mos achol hu zorim milanim in koma. But if you're careful during the week not to move it at all, k'deshol tispase v'tiskalkel mimelo hu klal muktzah machmas chisar and kiss v'asol tato. If an individual is careful from place to place, so then that falls into the category of muktzah machmas chisar and kiss. Let's go back and compare that to Rashi. Rashi had said, Dahanich kapir alehu, umiyachid lehem makom. Rashi says, you designate it as having a particular place, the muktzah machmas chisar and kiss, v'lo chazi l'melach acheres. Now notice, the Mishnah Brura didn't use that description of miyachid lehem makom. He just said that it is something that you're careful, doesn't say expensive. By the way, the words muktzah machmas chisar and kiss, the translation is deceiving. He doesn't say expensive. He just says that you're careful not to move it around. Shaloti pase vitilkalka. According to the Mishnah Brura's definition, we already have some halacha lemaisa examples of those things that would qualify as muktzah machmas chisar and kiss. A person has a expensive painting. So there, that painting, he's careful not to move it around. And Shema Yipaseh V'Tiskalkel, that would qualify as Moktzeh Machmas Gezeirin Kesef. An autographed baseball, that a person would not play ball with that, it depends on. But Joe DiMaggio signed it, so then in such a case, then that would also qualify as something that's Moktzeh Machmas Gezeirin Kesef, according to the Mishnah Berurah. There is a fascinating discussion, but the Mishnah Berurah seems to emphasize, at least in Shaar HaTzion, in Siman Shin Yud, another definition of Moktzeh Machmas Gezeirin Kesef. Over there in Siman Shin Yud Siv Zayin, the Mishnah Berurah appears in Siv Katan Chav Zayin, as well as in Siv Katan, the Shaar HaTzion Siv Katan Yud Tes. He's discussing that in the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, a wallet is referred to as a kli shemalachto leiser, something that's used for iser. In other words, the wallet is only used for money. Assuming those days, it was a money holder, so then it was only used for money. And it's going to be usher to be metaltel, except l'tzarech gufo, l'tzarech mekomo. The question is, why would you not consider the wallet moktzeh machmas chisaron kis? At the end of the day, often the wallet is something that its loss would be significant. So why do we not consider the wallet moktzeh machmas chisaron kis? So the Shaar HaTzion in Siv Katan Yud Tes quotes the base mayor, who says, "The kistim yuchal lemos halo ein derech lahakbid liyachilo makom." When it comes to the money purse, people aren't miyachin makom. In other words, the painting that has a particular place. However, other items, they don't have, even if they're expensive, if they don't have a particular place, they will not qualify as Moktzeh Machmas Gezeirin Kesef. And of course, just to review the basic nafka mina, if it's a kli shemalachto le'iser, so then if you need to use it, so then you'd be allowed to use it, l'tzarech gufo, for example, a hammer, you'd be allowed to use it if you wanted to break nuts. Smash nuts. If you wanted to sit in the place where the hammer is, then it'll be mutter. That's also klishim lachlis. You will be able to move tzarach mekamo. A mutzah machmas tisaren kis, for example, the painting. So even if you wanted to sit in its place, or you wanted to use it, you wanted to show the baseball around to somebody, all of those things are going to be usher, even if it would fall into a situation of tzarach gufo, tzarach mekamo. Comes along with Shaar HaTzion, and Shaar HaTzion says, well, when it comes to a kisa miyuchan lemos, it's not miyuchan makom. You don't designate its place. Since you're not miyachim makom, so then in such a case, it's not going to fall into the category of moktzeh machmas gezeirin kesef, and therefore it could be used and treated as a klishim lachto l'iser that could be moved l'tzarech gufo l'tzarech mekomo. Now, there is a little bit of a stira, if you will, over here. I didn't see people ask it this way, but there seems to be a little bit of a stira within the Mishnah Berurah himself. In Siv Katan Ches, there was no mention of Miyachi Makom. In Siv Katan Chav Zayin of Shin Yud, he seems to be driving at that as the Shaar HaTzion described. Also, is the Mishnah Berurah against Rashi, that Rashi and Kuf Chav Gimel Mabez had two definitions. Number one, Rashi had said that your Makbid, you treat it carefully. And he also said, So the answer to that question, Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, it's actually interesting where Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote this. There is a fascinating set of Svarim, Halacha Svarim called Shvuska. So the thing he discusses is Moktzeh Machmas Chisaron Kis. So there in his discussion of Moktzeh Machmas Chisaron Kis in Aleph Aleph, he mentions this base mayor. So Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote a Haskama. And Rav Shlomo Zalman sometimes would write Ha'aros when he wrote a Haskama. So in his Haskama, he writes on, he comments on what he wrote in Aleph Aleph. All it needed, Rav Shlomo Zalman needed, was a few lines to into the Sefer, and he already had Ha'ara on it. And there he mentions that the Beis Meir is of the opinion that Yichud Makom is going to be part of the definition of Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis. If it doesn't have a particular place, then it's not going to have a din of Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis. I'll give you a couple examples shortly. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no. Many people understood the Beis Meir. It doesn't mean that you need Yichud Makom in order to be called Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis. Yichud Makom is a simin. It's a sign that this is something that a person is makbid. So a painting, an expensive painting, a person generally is miyachid makom. So if you're not sure if it's something that someone is makbid on, so then in such a case, then yichud makom will be the definition. And by the way, it's meduyak in Rashi over there. Rashi says, dahanich kapid alayu umiyachlem makom dilo chazu l'mlach acheres. It's a simen, not a siba. That's what it would seem from Rashi. And that would be the pshat in the Mishnah Berurah, and even the Beis Meir of Shlomo Zalman went so far as to say that the Beis Meir would agree if it's obvious that it is something that he's makbid, in such a case it would not be subject to the rule of Yichud Makom, and it would have the din of Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis. And this brings us to a few practical examples. What would one say about a bridal gown? What would one say about a wedding gown? So a wedding gown, are people miyachid makom? It goes from the store to a closet and so on and so forth. I don't know if people are really miyachid makom. Today, no one gets married on Shabbos, and people are makbid about treating a bridal gown properly. So if, assuming my assumption is valid, that people are not miyachid makom for a bridal gown, taking that assumption, so here we have a tzir, we have a case in which we have something that is kapdi alayu, but one is not miyachin makom. And therefore, according to the standard way of presenting the Beis Meir, the way the Shvus Yitzchak presented it until Rav Shlomo Zalman came along and read the first few sentences and disagreed, so then we would say that if you're not miyachin makom, it's not going to have a din of muktzah machmas chisaron kis. And then it will be entirely mutter to be metaltel, right? Because here we're talking about a klisha malachto leheter. So you'd be allowed to be, you got to be metaltel. Or do you say, no, the fact that people are makbid, that enough might be, I say might, because we're going to have to process a few more things, might be enough of a reason to say that it's going to be mutter for, it's going to be usher and qualify in the din as the din of muktzah machmas Chisaron Kis. So far, so good, Rabbi Osai? Good? Okay, excellent. Now, there's another nafkamina, which is a fascinating nafkamina that the next stage in the Shalshalas HaMesorah presented, Moiri V'Rabbi Rav Nevensal quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman, what happens if you have a painting that's cheap, but it happens to have a particular place? So this is the inverse. So my Rebbe was pointing out that Rav Shlomo Zalman's Shita could also be a Kula as well. That the Chazon Ish was quoted as saying that if you have a anything that you're miyachin makom, whether it's something that person would be makbid on or not, it has the din of muktzah machmas chisaron kis, because yichud makom becomes part of the definition. Well, Rav Shlomo Zalman said no. It seems to me that's Rav Shlomo Zalman l'shitaso, that yichud makom is a simin, not a siva. Okay. But not everybody is going to hold. Now we go to the next branch in terms of muktzah machmas chisaron kis. Before we do that, let's just review what we saw. We saw that there are different categories and different historical stages in the dinim of muktzah. We saw the Rambam seems to formulate the rationales for klisha malachtel iser differently from muktzah machmas gufo. We saw Rashi potentially has a few different criterion for muktzah machmas chisaron kis, yichud makom, but we saw the Mishnah Berurah does not mention it, but the Mishnah Berurah would say that an autographed baseball, an expensive painting, would be muktzah machmas chisaron kis. Is yichud makom important? Well, the Beis Meir says that it is important in terms of understanding why a money bag is not muktzah machmas chisaron kis. However, the question is whether to take the base mayor at literally, that he was giving an operational definition of muktzah machmas kusarin kis, and yichud makom is absolutely necessary, and if you don't have it, it won't be muktzah machmas kusarin kis, or he was driving at what we thought might actually be the pashtus of Rashi, that yichud makom is a simen, that this is something that he's makbid for. The other nafgamina was the painting that is not expensive. What, and the other, in the first half Gemina was the case of a bridal gown. By the way, do you see where we're going, Rebbe Osei? What would you say about a laptop or a smartphone? So a laptop and smartphone are people miyached makom? Not necessarily. People aren't necessarily miyached makom. But let's see. Well, we need to go to another branch before we continue on in this. In regards to which items fall into the category of muktzah machmas chisaron kis, there's a fascinating machlokis amongst the achronim. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes a davar pashut that we're going to need to work on, and Emir Tzashem, we're going to get to lumdus to understand it, that when it comes to muktzah machmas chisaron kis, it's only those items that are a klisha malachto le'iser. Only if it's an item that is used for Iser. However, if it is something that's a klisha malachto leheter, then even if it falls into all the above categories, your miyached makom, and it's expensive, it won't fall into the category of muktzah machmas chisaron kis. This is what the Shulchan Aruch HaRav seems to say. And Chacham Avadya Zatzal, in Yabia Omer, Chelek Zayin, Simen Lamites, writes about this extensively. And that comes out of Big Kula. What comes out is that what we had quoted, that possibly, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, a bridal gown would be a problem of Kli, of Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis, that would not be correct, according to Chacham Avadya, because it is a Kli Shemalachto Leheter. Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis is only those items which were already Asur, and you can't be Metalblem Sam, but normally you're allowed to be Metalblem Lassar Kufo Lassar Bekomo. These you're not allowed to be Metalto even Lasarach Gufo Lasarach Mekomo. In other words, it's an extension of what Klisha Malachto is above. It's a Klisha Malachto Leheter, so then a person's never Makza his Das from it, and it would not be subject to the rules of Muksa Machmas Chisaron Kis. However, it doesn't seem to be the position of that Mishnah Berurah that we just read. The Mishnah Berurah that we just read in Sivkatan Ches, he doesn't speak at all about a klisha malachto l'iser. He talks about something that's very heavy, and he says the fact that it's heavy, that's not enough for it to be muktzah machmas chisaron kis. But if you're makbid on it, you're going to be very, very careful, and you're careful not to use it for anything else. So then it would be subject to muktzah machmas chisaron kis. And this, many of the Ashkenazic Achronim point out, even though Chacham Avadya has a little bit of a raya from the Shulchan Aruch. If you look in all the cases in the Shulchan Aruch of Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis, all of them were examples of items which you use for Iser. For example, the hoe, the mila knife, and so on. So there, here we have a qualification to what I had said before. I had said before that according to those who say that you don't need to be miyachin makom, a bridal gown is going to be muktzah machmas chisaron kis, but not so fast. If you hold that the din of muktzah machmas chisaron kis only applies to those things that are klisha malachto l'iser, then a bridal gown also would not be subject to muktzah machmas chisaron kis. But once again, it seems to me that most achronim are machmir against the Balatanya and Chacham Avadya, but someone has a tradition not that way, then most definitely yesh lehem al harbe l'smoch. What's the yisoid of this machlekes? So here, Rabos, I want to share with you something that's mamish m'sameh. I want to get up and start dancing and sing. I just don't want to wake the whole house up. But listen to this. Listen to this, Rabos. When I realized this about Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis, it became one of my favorite topics. Here, listen to this. There is and there's even more to this machlokis. The Gra and the Ramah are constantly arguing about a person picking up something that's mutza and then putting it back down. And I'm going to share with you one of their machlokias. Actually, they appear in Reish Samach Vav. Reish Samach Vav in Orachayim and Reish Samach Vav in Yoredeya. We're going to focus on the machlokas between the Gra and the Ramah in Reish Samach Vav in Yoredeya. There's a machlokas about what the Mo'el is supposed to do after he finishes the Mila. The Mo'el finishes the Mila, he does the Chaticha, and then he now is holding something that's what? He's holding something that's Mutza Machmas Chisarinkis. He's holding something that's Mutza Machmas Chisarinkis. So what's the halacha in regards to him putting it down? So the Ramah writes in Reish Samach Vav Beis, Umutul Etaltal Yizemel Achar Mila. He's allowed to move the Mila knife after the Mila, Lahatsnia, to hide it. Bechatzar Ma'urav, Afal Gatayin Sarach Lov Gol Seshat. So he's allowed to take it, move it somewhere else, and hide it. The Mila knife, you're allowed to continue to be metalta. The Gra famously says no. The Gra, and the Shach, by the way, is more Megal, and most Moalim today follow the Shach, but the Gra was actually more Machmir. The Gra writes that, why are you allowed to be metalta of the knife? Because it's a Tzarech Mitzvah. But once the mitzvah is done, so then it becomes Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis. It becomes Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis, says the Gra, you're not going to be able to be metalta. And he quotes that the Ma'ariv, not only does he hold this way, but he says even the Ramaz Rabbeim, the Ma'ariv, says Beferish that you have to drop it right away. So what's done according to the Gra is the Mo'el uses the knife, and then he drops it immediately into the satchel, which presumably would be a basis l'davar asr l'davar mutter, or tiltul min atzad, the tzarech davar hamutter, and then in such a case, he'd be allowed to be metalta. But afterwards, he's not allowed to be metalta. Okay, this is a technical machlokas. It's relevant to a mo'el, not so relevant to us, but absolutely relevant to us. Because if you take a look at the Gra's language, the Gra, I want to make a lumdish reading with you for 2 minutes in the Gra. The Gra says as follows. He asks Akasha. The halacha is that when you pick up a klisha melachdol iser, you're allowed to move it, litzarach mekomo, anywhere you want. Once you've picked it up, you're allowed to move it anywhere you want. So in this case, he picked it up, the heter, asks the Gra. Just like a klisha melachdol iser, if you pick up the hammer that's sitting on a chair and you want to use the chair, then you don't have to take the hammer and drop it 3 feet away. You're allowed to take the hammer and put it into the toolbox. That's described explicitly in Simen Shin Ches. So the Gra is bothered. I ask myself, why would it be that it's aser? So he says as follows. He says, klisha melachdol iser is not muktza. You're allowed to be metaltal. The Gra says an amazing thing. Step number one says the Gra that klisha melachdol iser is not called muktza. What's the proof that you're allowed to be metaltal tzarek gufo tzarek mekomo? Rak michamel etzel aser. It's only aser to be metaltal from the sun to the shade. Da have shalol etzarek. Because that's considered a total shalol etzarek. However, when it comes to something that's actually muktza, like muktza machmas chisaron kis, says the Gra that in such a case, you would not be allowed to be metalkal at all. Even though klisha melachdol iser, you can put wherever you want. However, when it comes to muktza machmas chisaron kis, you're not allowed to. In this Gra is a lot of beautiful yisodos. Aleph, the Gra is saying that klisha melachdol iser is an entirely different gzeira. The gzeira is that you're going to come to do a malacha. Maybe what the Gra is saying is as follows. As long as you're moving it, litzarach gufa, litzarach mekomo, we're not afraid you're going to come to do a malacha. It's not inherently muksa. In contrast to when it comes to muksa machmas gufo, so muksa machmas gufo is different. Muksa machmas gufo, if there was a case where you were allowed to be metaltalit, like the case of Muktza Machmas Chisaron Kis by the Mila, then the moment in which the Mila is done, now it has a din of something that's mukta, like mukta machmas gufa. And then in such a case, you can't be metaltel. So we see from the gra two things. Number one, that the heter letzara gufa letzara mekomo is a heter that seems to be based on the idea that you're not going to come to violate what klisha malachal isser is concerned about, and that does not apply to mukta machmas chisaron kis, because mukta machmas chisaron kis is inherently mukta. That's what the Gra seems to say. So Rabosai, what's the Ramah going to say back? So it seemed to me that the Ramah is going to say back, no, mukta machmas chisaron kis is just a klisha malachal isser glorified. How is it a glorified klisha malachal isser? Mukta machmas chisaron kis, you can't move letzarach gufa letzarach menkomo. You can't. But why can't you move it letzarach gufa letzarach menkomo? The reason why you can't move it letzarach gufa letzarach menkomo is because you're makbid. Because you're makbid, there is no justification to move it letzarach gufa letzarach menkomo. Because you normally don't move it, letzarach gufa letzarach menkomo. You only use it for a particular purpose. Oh, im kainim advarim, if that's so. So then, when it comes to a case in which you have this klisha malachal iser, that you picked up a heter, which is mukta machmas chisaron kis, but all it is a glorified klisha malachal iser. So klisha malachal iser, you're allowed to use it, move letzarach gufa letzarach mekomo. So it borrows those terms and those rules. Oh. In Kainim Advarim, if this is the machlokas between the Gra and the Ramah, now we can understand what the machlokas achronim is all about. We have a fundamental chakira, mamish misameh, that goes back to the way we start in the Rambam. The fundamental chakira is, what's the pshat in the Yisr Muxamachmas, Tiltum Muxamachmas, Kusarkis? Is it really a din of klisha malachto l'Yisr, which doesn't have the letzarach gufa letzarach mekomo because you're makbid? And therefore, you can't justify a heter letzarach gufa letzarach mekomo, which you normally claim by a klisha malachal iser. Or is the pshat that mukta machmas chisaron kis is really mukta machmas gufa? In other words, when you have any kli which a person is makbid not to move it, then it becomes mukta machmas gufa, which is a chiddush, because mukta machmas gufa is not a kli. So what happened when Chazal made the gzera mukta machmas chisaron kis? Did Chazal make the gzera to say that mukta machmas chisaron kis is a kli that has a din of mukta machmas gufa? Or did Chazal say it is a super kli shemalachta lisa which doesn't have the hetel tzarf gufa tzarf mekomo? So one nafkamina is going to be the machlokes between the Gra and the Rambam, and the other nafkamina is going to be this machlokes aposkim, where the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is right or the Mishnah Brura is right. Do we say that you could have a mukta machmas chisaron kis if it's a klisha malachta liser? If it's a super klisha malachta liser, then only applies to klisha malachta liser. But if it's a din of mukta machmas gufo that has no purpose, and a kli that's mukta machmas chisaron kis that has no purpose is considered a mukta machmas gufo, so then in such a case, it shouldn't make a difference whether it's a klisha malachta heter or klisha malachta liser. Misameach. That would be the pshat in that machloik. Yes. Okay. Oh, so now we come back to the bridal gown. So when we're talking about the bridal gown, then what would emerge is that the bridal gown, if you hold like Chacham Avadya and the Baal HaTanya, then there's a lot of room to argue it's going to be mutter. But if you hold that A, you don't need Yichud Makom is just a simin, not a Siba, and B, that Klisha Malachto, the Heter, could also be Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis, like we saw, the Shita of the Gra seems to be in Lamdus, then it would also emerge in Lamdus that it should be considered Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis. Okay, with that in mind, we're ready now to start applying everything we've learned into the halachas. So let's talk about smartphones. So I don't think that most people are miyachid makom on smartphones. There might be, but it's very, very hard to say, especially because people carry around and put it down in places. So if you hold that you need yichud makom, so even though it's expensive and a person would be makbid, nevertheless, not to use it for anything else. Nevertheless, since he's not miyach makom, if you take the base mayor literally, then it would be okay. But we saw that Rav Shlomo Zalman was mashmer. Another sad to be makel, which is a very, very strong sad to be makel, is that people use their smartphones for other things aside for Isur. In other words, there are some people that will use their phones to underline. Some people will use their phones to do other things, to they'll place it on certain things to hold them down. So I actually underline sometimes with my phone if I don't have a card to underline with. So I think it is common for some people to do it. It could very well be that the halacha is going to depend on each different people might have different dinim based on their yachas to it. Finally, the laptop, let's stay with smartphone. The smartphone, there would be a lot of room to be makel because when it comes to the smartphone, it has a shimush on Shabbos itself. In other words, there's room to argue that there is a shimush on Shabbos, like using the alarm and so on. So if it's has a shimush, so then it could very well be that it doesn't have a full din of muktzah matzah and kiss. I'm going to get back to that point of shimush shortly. A laptop, on the other hand, is different. If we're talking about a laptop, so there yesh lodun. There are some people who are miyachin makom. There are some people who are not miyachin makom. So the individuals who are miyachin makom for the laptop, so then in such a case, according to those posts, that would be a problem. Those, if you hold that yichud makom is ma'akev, then it will be ma'akev over here. If you don't hold yichud makom is ma'akev, so then it could very well be that it's going to be moksa. But most people don't use it for other things. Most people don't use their laptops. When it comes to the phone, they use it for other things. When it comes to a laptop, they don't use it for very many other things. So therefore, for a laptop, there might be a lot of room to say that if you hold that yichud makom is ma'akev, so most people also are not miyachid makom. In other words, what would the definition of yichud makom be? Yichud makom would be that after you use it, you always put it back in the exact same place. So I guess it depends how big of a yeki a person is, but I'm Polish. So wherever I use the laptop last, that's where it is. Obviously, we want to plug it in so it stays charged, but that doesn't have a particular place that every night it goes back to the same place. So then in such a case, then there's room to argue that people are not miyached, not miyached makom. But they also don't use it for other purposes. So since people don't use it for other purposes, it could very well be that a laptop might have the din of muktzah machmas b'sar and kis. Smartphones, less so. But there is another reason to be machmir in regards to smartphones. And that is an interesting chumra that Rav Nevin Sal Shlita told me, and I later found. He said in the name of Shlomo Zalman, and I found it tucked away in Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa, Perich Chavches, Sifkatan Lamidalid, where we have the following. Rav Shlomo Zalman changed the halacha. What do I mean he changed the halacha? He qualified a halacha in the Gemara differently today than the way it's brought down in the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara tells us that when you have a shofar, so a shofar is a klisha malachta l'isser. Shofar, you're not allowed to blow on Shabbos, it's a klisha malachta l'isser, you're not allowed to be metalta. Okay. Why is it a klisha malachta l'isser? Because it's used for isser, but it's a kli that could also be moved l'tzarech gufo, l'tzarech mekomo, because it qualifies as a utensil. How is a shofar a utensil? So Gemara describes, and the Rishonim elaborate, in Daf Lamed Daled, there's a discussion that the shofar could be used to hold water. Since the shofar, at times, people used to even transport water in the shofar, and therefore it's a kli. It's a kli. It's a kli, though, that's generally used with iser, and you'd be allowed to be metaltal tzarek ufo tzarek mekom. So it comes along with Rav Shlomo Zalman, And I think there are Rishonim that said, if I'm not mistaken, or Salvechik and Ishurim was Medayik this and the Rishonim. Comes along Rishon Zalman and he says, when it comes to the shofar in those days, it was used as a kli. But today, no one uses a shofar as a kli at all. And therefore, he says, if it has no purpose on Shabbos, then in such a case, a kli shemalachdol iser turns into moktza machmas klisaron kes. It's the same moktza machmas klisaron kes in the lomdos that we saw in the Gra. And that is, it's a kli, but has absolutely no purpose. And therefore, it has a din of moktza machmas klisaron kes. Oh, so now we would have another reason that a laptop might not be able to be moved. Because if any item, any kli shemalachdol iser has no purpose on Shabbos, this is a big chumrah. If it has no purpose on Shabbos, so then it has a din of mukza, machmas, chisar, and kiss. And that's how Rav Nevin Sal Paskins, that's his mahalach, that anything that is considered, that is a, has a kli shemalachdol iser, has no purpose on Shabbos, it has a din of mukza, machmas, chisar, and kiss. I think, though, there's room to say that many smartphones are going to be motor. How many people use their smartphones for as an alarm? Okay, so a significant amount of people use as for alarm. So it would seem that an alarm would qualify as a shimush for Shabbos. Obviously, one has to make sure that alarm is going to be mutter in terms of Ashamilsa. And then in such a case, maybe the smartphones will still get out of that chumra as well. So it could be that a smartphone will, A, not be muktzamachmas klisaron kis if you use it for other things. B, is not considered muktzamachmas klisaron kis as a klisha mlachtalis that has no purpose on Shabbos because it does have a shimush, its alarm has a shimush for Shabbos. But a laptop, if you don't require the din of yichud makom, could very well be that it has a din muktzamachmas and everything comes together. The Rambam had started out and he gave us two different categories. He gave us categories of those that Chazal, and according to the Shulchan Aruch HaRad, already going back to David HaMelech, did not want us to be metaltal items that have no purpose on Shabbos. By the way, it's clear when you read the Rishonim that the reason for that is that on Shabbos our tiltal should be all about focusing on Shabbos. And the Rambam says a tiltal that's not necessary is usher on Shabbos. That's one category. That's the category of Muktzah Machmas. And we saw it could very well be in Lomdus that there are people who go in that category for Muktzah Machmas Kusar and Kiss as well, even though it's a Kli. And then there's another category, and that's part of Xeris Nechemia. Xeris Nechemia is on Kli Shemalach Del Isser. On Kli Shemalach Del Isser, so then in such a case, that's Muktzah Tzav Gufo Tzav Makami. Why? It's a totally different category. That's a category that Nechemia was Gozer when he saw that people were doing Malacha. Not that on Shabbos your Tiltal is supposed to be different than Tiltal during the week, but rather it's Xeris about to Malacha. So when it's Tzav Gufo Tzav Makami, it's not going to have that shasha. Now we have Muktzah Machmas Klisar and Kiss that stands wedged in between them. On the one hand, it's a Kli. On the other hand, might not have a purpose on Shabbos. And we have all of the hashlachos that we discussed above, the Siyata D'Shemaya. Great to learn with you, Chevra. Mirz Hashem, hope to see all of you in Eretz Yisrael quickly.
Shkach, thank you.
Thank you.